This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With Paul and Fiona here on Saturday Magazine, as always, if you are interested in any of our speakers, you can download the podcast. They'll be available then Sunday. James, our podcaster, is working hard over the weekend to get these to you. Okay, Fiona, we've got another guest with us.
We do. Lucianne Tonti, fashion researcher, writer, regenerative fashion researcher, fashion editor of the Saturday paper. Welcome to the program, Lucianne.
Thanks so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
I read with interest your piece in The Guardian about how Australians should reduce their carbon footprint, as we know, but how we can do this using with our wardrobes, with our purchasing of clothing. You know, there's some startling facts around the carbon footprint of producing fashion, fast fashion. And so I would love to touch on this subject with you, because I think that this is a really practical thing that people can easily do to reduce their carbon footprint.
Yeah, so there was a research report that came out at the end of 2022 that said that Australians are one of the worst offenders in consuming too many clothes, and the report suggested that we have to reduce our consumption here by 74% of garments, which brings us down to, it's a lot, right?
Yeah. It's a lot, yes.
Yeah, and so, look, this may not be practical for everybody, but I think it's a good starting point. So the recommendation was that we buy just 5 new items of clothing every year. You can buy a little bit of vintage. It doesn't include socks and underwear and lingerie.
I think
that's a bar, right?
Right. I think 5 items of clothing a year is perfectly acceptable. And if it doesn't include vintage, well, it means that, you know, there are a lot of options for, you know, buying, or, you know, in metropolitan cities, there's a lot of options for buying clothes that are recycled or repurposed. And so how do they come to this figure and statistic?
So, look, it was a Berlin-based think tank, so they looked at consumption kind of all over the world. The stats from Australia, they relied on old stats from Australia that said we were consuming and discarding, I think it was 20-something kilos of textiles, but the latest research suggests that we're buying 15 kilos of textiles each a year, and we're throwing away 10 of those.
Wow.
So it's a very linear system, right? You buy it, you don't wear it much, you throw it away. But the stat that really gets me is that Australians buy, it's a really shocking statistic, 56 new items of clothes each a year, but it's at an average cost of $6.50.
Oh, that's an incredible,
Is that for real, Lucianne? Because that's an incredible statistic.
It is. It's for real. It's from an Australian Fashion Council report that came out last year as well. And they looked at how much clothing was being imported into the country and, you know, the total value of that clothing. And that was how they calculated the figure. Of course, it gets skewed, right? Because if you're like me, and I think it sounds like we might have similar shopping habits, I don't buy anywhere near 56 new items of clothes a year. I'm probably buying between 5 and 10. But I'm investing in those pieces, so I'm spending a lot more, $6.50 on each piece. But if you're a teenager or, you know, in your early 20s and you're doing a Shein haul, you know, with ultra-fast fashion, and those pieces are coming in at, you know, $5 or less, if you buy your T-shirts in bulk from somewhere like Kmart where they're $3 each, you know, you can see how the scales start to skew. It's also impacted because we are an extremely wealthy nation in the Asia Pacific region, and so we're in proximity to a lot of the factories where very, very cheap garments are being produced.
Yep.
And you know, we have the money to spend, so you know, there are experts I've spoken to who believe that we are a dumping ground for the cheapest clothing in the world.
Yep.
And if you look at that figure, you kind of have to say that, you know, that might be true.
It's true, because we, you know, the economics of getting stuff to Australia is so much cheaper than it is shipping it either to Europe or the Americas. So I think you're right that cheap manufacturing base you have in the sort of Asia Pacific is ideal for Australia.
And we do have a relatively high disposable incomes and have had for quite some time. I mean, there is a theory that one of the reasons why Australians are the most financially scammed people in the world is because we seem to have money that we are willing to, or unwittingly, but somehow willing to lose. Now, one other point, though, I wanted to ask you about is a lot of the dumping, we believe, of fashion actually comes from the fashion houses that order too many clothes and they can't get rid of it. And they put it on sale and then they put it on sale and then it just gets dumped. I mean, what portion of that are these statistics are considering what the fashion houses are doing themselves?
So these stats are talking about what people are actually buying, but what you're talking about with the overproduction, those are statistics that we don't have visibility into. Mm. So, for example, we think that there are between 15 and 45 billion garments a year that are produced that are never sold, that go straight to landfill or incinerators. Mm. And that's an incredible variable, right? That's 30 billion garments. That's not just Australia, that's globally. But the fashion houses don't have to disclose how much unsold stock they're sitting on. And so that means that it's like a dirty secret. So I did a big report into this in the Guardian UK last week that came out, and it's really shocking. Like, when you speak to the experts, literally everybody is like, we just don't know. It could be 10% of everything that they produce that doesn't get sold, but it could be 40%. Mm. And this fabulous foundation in Ghana called the Orr Foundation launched a campaign, the Speak Volumes campaign. They're calling on brands to have to disclose these volumes because we can't really tackle the fashion industry's carbon footprint until we know how much they're overproducing, because it's like not having all the pieces of a puzzle, right? But it's a huge amount. And so the stats for Australia, we send 227,000 tons of textile waste straight to landfill in Australia. We donate another 190,000 tons of textile waste to charities, but over 100,000 of that goes offshore. So we don't deal with all of that, what's donated here. Some of it gets shipped. It doesn't go to Africa. From here, it goes to the Middle East and Southeast Asia, and then it gets kind of filtered out again. So it's a very kind of murky system where you have these poorer countries buying the textile waste from us because they think there might be some value in it. The Orr Foundation, who does work in Ghana, estimates about 40% of each bale is rubbish when it's being purchased, which is obviously putting those people, disadvantaged people, into debt because they can't make money back on what they've invested in. And then from there, it's just ending up, it's tragic. I mean, I'm sure, I don't like to kind of go on about waste porn because I think we can just get into this hole so we feel really guilty, but it ends up in, you know, sinking to the bottom of the ocean. It gets washed up on beaches. It gets lit on fire in deserts. It's we've got to stop buying such crappy clothes and start buying better quality stuff so that we keep it for longer and enjoy wearing it for longer.
Well, I mean, certainly, or buying secondhand.
I was going to ask that question. I mean, I think the one thing I've taken from this, Lucien, and I think you're so sensible, is put a number on it. Buy 5 items or less a year, and advocate for buying secondhand stuff to keep that stuff in a cycle. And the reason you can buy good stuff at vintage stores, Fiona, is because usually the quality is better or the design is better, which is why it hasn't been chucked out in the first place.
That's true. Exactly. I mean, there's very different, there's vintage stores and there's vintage stores, and then, you know, there's a lot of variation in there. I've been a secondhand clothing buyer since I was a teenager, and you know, it's always been a habit of mine to buy secondhand. I buy new clothes, of course, but I do try to buy pieces that are going to last. And some of my vintage clothes are now vintage twice because they were vintage when I got them, and now it's like 25 years later and I still have them. Lucien,
I've got to say as well to Lucien, I don't want to blow my own trumpet here, but the last time I went to my parents' house, I did go through my father's old wardrobe, and I have brought a whole ton of stuff back home with me because it was such good stuff that he hasn't worn. The only problem with that is that I think my waistline is slightly bigger than his at the time when he was wearing it. But maybe that's down to us eating too much food as well as consuming too many textiles.
Well, yeah, there is that. But also, you know, take them to a tailor, get them made to fit you. That's something I get a lot of joy out of. And I think that that repair economy is going to be so valuable as we try to figure out what to do with, you know, the waste industries. And, you know, that means you're helping somebody keep those skills alive. So, and then, you know, bonus, you get a fabulous wardrobe full of stuff that you love to wear that's not pinching you around the stomach.
Yeah, the industry, like you say, it's a bit difficult. The industry needs to do a marketing campaign on this, but, you know, no industry is going to tell the consumers to stop buying their merchandise, which is effectively what we're asking consumers to do.
Yeah. And also, I think that, you know, maybe one of the challenges, of course, is that when you're a teenager and you want to buy new clothes, you can't afford to, you know, you can't always convince your mother to or your father to buy the things that you want to invest in. So it is also, you know, seems to be it's a privilege of aging. You increase your income slowly by surely, and then that means that you can, you know, increase the value of the clothing that you wear. But there's, you know, millions of teenagers around the world who, you know, want to just buy the funnest, newest and cheapest thing that they can buy in a store. So, you know, there's always going to be that element, and it's as if we could somehow or another make sure that the fashion houses were not overproducing, then maybe we would say, I mean, as you say, it's a complicated problem, and we appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Lucianne. It's a great message for everyone. And I think, you know, if everyone else is thinking what we're thinking, our mouths have dropped on the floor with those statistics. But appreciate you bringing them to our attention.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on. Have a great weekend.
And you take
too,
care.
You too, Lucianne. Thanks, bye.
You are with Paul and Fiona here on Saturday Magazine. What a great bunch of speakers we've had this morning, Fiona.
We have,
and
we're
going to finish off with one more. So stay with us. We've got a nice little ending to today's show.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.